We're a lot less tolerant of toxic substances than we used to be, where once we sprayed DDT to get rid of flies and other pests, we're much more judicious in our use of toxics now. We even banned DDT. A common complaint, though, of people who would like to go further to reduce the use of toxics is that governments still use a lot of them. The state of Oregon is working to remove a lot from that last phrase. Purchasing guidelines now in place call for less buying of toxics and also call for changes in procedures that reduce the situations in which toxics would be used. Matthew Shelby is a communications strategist in the Office of the Chief Operating Officer and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Matthew, thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
So the decision came from your boss, Michael Jordan, not the basketball player. And what essentially does this do?
So really what it does is it allows state agencies to use their collective buying power to purchase less toxic products. And so what the guidelines do is it really sets out a framework for an agency that wants to procure something. Could be janitorial supplies, could be office furniture, could be building materials, anything really. And it sets up a framework to work with between the purchasers and the producers of the products to try to see if there is a safer, less toxic alternative. And in a lot of cases, there is. And in a lot of cases, that doesn't necessarily cost more.
This comes after an earlier step from his boss, the governor. What did he provide to the office of the chief operating officer as a directive?
What really put this ball in motion was Governor Kitzhaber's 2012 executive order, and that was a fairly overarching directing state agencies to purchase less toxic products in really kind of all facets. And last summer, we saw the first kind of action based on that executive order with the development of a price agreement for specifically janitorial supplies. And you think Simple Green versus Windex kind of thing. But much more encompassing than that, it was a two-state agreement between the state of Washington and the state of Oregon. The good news about that is that you're expanding your buying power by including both state governments, able to drive down that price. And not only can state government or state agencies take advantage of that price agreement to purchase products, school districts, local governments, any other municipalities that want to can also use, basically piggyback on that state price agreement to get that same reduced cost as well.
So your local city government or your fire department, your school district could all piggyback on this and get some reduced prices for the stuff they use and reduce the toxic stuff as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how extensive a review went into this? I mean, I have to believe there was some look at some gauging of what it is we do now in Oregon state government and an assessment of, like, well, how can we do this differently?
Exactly. And the guidelines really took about a year to develop. We are working directly with, we call them procurement officers in the state agencies, so the people that are actually buying stuff for state agencies. But then also engaging environmental groups and the business community, folks that are actually producing materials. Because the other thing that we don't want to stop at just what's available. And so the guidelines actually make room for a conversation between an agency and a supplier around not only what's on the shelf right now, but what's possible. And the good thing about, one of the good things about these guidelines for Oregon businesses is that now you've got a committed customer in Oregon state government. And when you have that committed customer, it's much easier to make the kind of investments that potentially, you know, could be needed to develop safer products.
You mentioned partnering with the state of Washington, which makes sense, neighboring state and all that. But then you have a huge economy just to the south of you in California. And, of course, the power of that state government because of the amount of stuff it needs to buy would be tremendous. Was there any discussion about an Oregon-California agreement as well?
Not at this time, at least not inked. But, you know, California does have some they have some things that we would like to explore, even in such as in furniture, kind of reducing the fire retardants and some of the chemicals that are in the foam that's in chair paddings. And they have they're a bit further ahead than Oregon in terms of making things available there. And so I think that's an area that we could explore. But, you know, right now we've really been focused kind of internally for the most part inside our state and really trying to bring together people. So not just saying green at all cost or we're going to limit ourselves to what's available, but really sitting down with businesses and trying to figure out what's possible.
Even in the cases of stuff that might have been available, I mean, did you end up putting suppliers at a bit of a shock by saying, okay, we want 20,000 bottles of this cleaning supply? And they're, oh my God, we only have 10,000 on the shelves. Was there anything like that?
Well, no, that's the good thing about the kind of iterative process that we went through. We've been working on this for about a year. We started with the janitorial supplies, and so the suppliers that we work through kind of had a good jump start there. And as you can imagine, you start having a conversation about what's possible, and it kind of opens some doors for maybe some of the smaller businesses that maybe have a really great idea, but for one reason or another weren't on the state's radar. Now, all of a sudden, if you've got an innovative product, there's a forum for you to engage with state government and potentially gain a large customer.
We're talking to Matthew Shelby, who's a communications strategist in the Office of the Chief Operating Officer of the State of Oregon, about Oregon purchasing procedures that now hew much more to a non-toxics line. Your discussion is welcome on the Jefferson Exchange. Your comments, your questions can be made at 800-838-3760 around the region. In the Rogue Valley, call us at 541-552-6782. Call or send us an email to jx@jeffnet.org. I mean, cleaning supplies seems pretty easy. That's a good place to start because, you know, most of us use fairly toxic things in our homes sometimes, too. But there must be places that would surprise people to find out, oh, there are toxic things there?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not just it's in the things that we buy, but also in the procedures that a contractor may use. So for an example would be, with these guidelines, an agency could actually give preference points to a bidder for a contract that had paperless billing or conducted meetings via Skype instead of driving back and forth or having video conferencing, things like that. So it's not just those chemicals in the products, but really kind of how can we have a safer overall procurement. Also, office supplies, office furniture.
I have to believe some of this stuff with office supplies in particular was going on for a while, you know, non-toxic inks and things like that.
Exactly. And again, when you harness the collective buying power of all state agencies, you're able to actually, because of the demand that we have, we're able to actually shift that market to a degree, because again, if you've got that committed customer, it behooves business to develop and to offer those safer products.
Matthew, I understand there was a green chemistry steering committee involved in this process somewhere.
Yeah, there was, out of the governor's office, that kind of helped lead the coordination among state agencies, among businesses, environmental groups, so that people really kind of came together and developed some common sense guidelines. What we didn't want to do was tie the hands of state agencies. We didn't want to make overly rigid requirements, but at the same time, we wanted to encourage both state agencies and their purchasing, but also through our buying power, to encourage the market to shift towards safer alternatives. And I think it really took kind of people from all those areas working together to develop those.
Are there made in Oregon directives on a lot of the stuff you're buying anyway?
There aren't, but just the nature of the work that we've been doing and the engagement that's been happening through the development of these guidelines, I think you've seen a lot of that, and people are paying attention. Oregon businesses that have been developing safer products have been at the table and are eager for this. A great example, and I don't have the name of the company off the top of my head, but there's a pest control company that worked with the Department of Corrections to sell them owls and owl boxes to help deal with a rat problem that they had. A few years ago, likely would have just put rat poison down, but in this case, we were able to kind of deal with the problem, but do so without introducing new toxics into the environment.
I noticed that because at first I thought it read owl decoys, and then I realized the other word was nests. So it was actual real live owls.
Yeah, the real deal.
And so you've gotten some creative thinking going on then, going within state government to look for ways to do things that don't involve chemicals.
Absolutely. And again, that's the goal at the end of the day, is that if we can solve that problem, and we can do so in a way that that limits the introduction of new toxics, and in a way that is financially sustainable, that's our end goal. And in doing so, we're developing new opportunities for Oregon business, making things safer for citizens here in Oregon. And, that's exactly what we're trying to do here.
I have to believe the financially sustainable part is one that's a little tricky. I mean, I'm thinking that rat poison is probably a whole lot cheaper than getting owls and nests. And that'd be an interesting one to hear from somebody. It's like, wait a minute, Department of Corrections budget went up by how much because of what now?
Well, and that's a good point. And that's why we have the guidelines written the way we do. So they're not overly rigid, and there is room, there is room for, some negotiation in terms of price. It's not a directive that says in every case you're going to do this. There may be cases where there either isn't a safer alternative, or the alternative that is there is just not financially sustainable. And so there's room within the guidelines to kind of come to that conclusion. But you got to have the conversation, and you've got to do some exploring to figure out what is possible.
So do the guidelines arrive on the desk of any department head as a binder full of stuff, or is it like a one-page checklist, I mean, somewhere in the middle?
Oh, well, in this day and age, it's all online, and we work directly through the procurement officers. So state agencies have their own procurement staff who are experts in essentially public purchasing, and these are guidelines that they will use. I'd be surprised if the specific guidelines are sitting on an agency head's desk, but the intent, people are well aware of the intent, and the nice thing actually about these guidelines is that we're getting them into the hands of the people that are actually cutting the checks, and so the people that are really doing that work to buy things for the state, and they've been involved all along throughout this process, and so it's really more than just talk. It's getting those guidelines into the hands of people that can actually put them into practice.
Matthew Shelby, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about purchasing guidelines for the state of Oregon that put an emphasis on non-toxic substances. Some people are going to ask, though, now, wait a minute, if you're going to be switching particularly things like cleaning supplies or not using rat poison at the state pen, is there a chance that while we have owls and nests, the place isn't going to be as clean and there are going to be more rats around? I mean, is that considered as part of the overall picture in making a decision?
Well, yeah, obviously effectiveness is part of the equation. And so, that's definitely, a requirement of ours. They have to work. And, more and more products that are less toxic are becoming just as good in a lot of cases, and in some cases better, and in some cases actually cheaper. We really see this, I would say, especially in things like the janitorial, some of the cleaning chemicals. There are a lot of options out there that really aren't any more expensive, that do just as good a job, and are a lot safer for everybody involved.
So does anybody have a number on just how much the state of Oregon was procuring in the way of toxic chemicals before this process got started? And is there a target, pounds, gallons, barrels, whatever, that you'll get down to at some point?
I haven't seen an actual number, but you can imagine we've got 40,000 plus-ish employees across the entire state doing myriad jobs. We're a large purchaser, and I think anything that we can do to get smarter about the way we're procuring, it's going to have an impact across the state, beyond state government, because we have offices, we have employees, we have programs in just about every corner of this state. And so we're talking about affecting the purchasing of all of those agencies.
And as you pointed out, local ones can piggyback into. Was there not that ability before this directive then? No, I mean, could local agencies have also done purchasing through the state?
No, that ability's been there. It's kind of like a Costco for governments. You sign up and you become part of the purchasing network, and then you get to take advantage of those agreements. And so that's kind of an added bonus as we negotiate price contracts and work with vendors to make these safer products more available. Primarily, we're doing that for state agencies, but at the end of the day, it's available to anyone that any government agency that wants to kind of join that purchasing network.
Matthew, you mentioned some assistance from environmental groups in arriving at the purchasing guidelines. Tell us about that.
So, you know, as you can imagine, there's a lot of kind of debate and conversation around labeling, obviously. You start talking to people about kind of what's green. You know, people throw that term around, or what's safer. They're labeling things. There are different ways to categorize products. And if you're just working with the vendors, that's probably not enough. If you're just working with state agencies, it's probably not enough. The environmental groups give us the ability to have some kind of independent third-party verification of some of the products.
You brought some skeptics online, essentially, is what happened.
Yeah, and it helps. You know, it helps kind of balance all that out. And if you get everybody at the table working together to kind of come to really common sense solutions that make sense for state agencies.
All right, so this is all about state agencies moving into a realm where they're seeking less in the way of toxic substances. Matthew Shelby is a communications strategist in the Office of the Chief Operating Officer. Thanks so much for joining us today on The Exchange.
Thanks for having me.
All right, take care. That'll do it for this hour of The Exchange. Hour number two, we'll talk about Techtoberfest coming to the Medford area.